very welcome to a very special edition of the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. We're looking back at Cheltenham, but not really looking back at Cheltenham, because we're going to look back when we had a variety of special guests watch Cheltenham live on YouTube, Facebook and Twitter, Paddy Power's page, and you got involved, but they told us some funny stories too. We had a brilliant bunch of celebrity guests watch Cheltenham with us on those social channels. On Tuesday, for example, we had the TalkSport trio of Alan Brazil, Ali McCoist and Ray Parler. You would expect a bit of banter, and we certainly got it. First story, Alan Brazil, you're supposed to be in work. Where were you? Let's leave it to the lads.
My first ever Cheltenham with TalkSport, I'm due to do the Thursday morning.
Yeah.
With Al, who's already been there Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday. So I don't see him, because he stays in his wee place and I'm staying in a hotel in Cheltenham on a Wednesday night. So early night, professional as I am, couple of beers, pizza, bed. So I gets up, 5 o'clock, and I go down to the reception, meeting Scott, the producer, we Ed, and we're getting a taxi in. So I look in and about 10 past five, I get there. Scott says to me, how you getting on? I says, brilliant, Scott. He says, you're looking forward to it? I said, yes, I'm, Scott, as a matter of fact. He went, good. I went, why? He says, because you're hosting it. Because Big Al's going AWOL.
No,
he fell out the bed.
Yes. I broke my thumb.
What?
I did. I fell in the bed, and because we take this cottage every year.
What, was you on a sub bank, was it? Was you on
in beautiful bank? Broadway. No, it's high up. And I was just, you know, when you're really comfy. I was just rolling over.
You went through the floor. You'd have in a kitchen.
I was just rolling over a glass of lager. I mean, a glass of water. And I fell out of the bed.
Ray, so I ended up, I did it with Big Quinny. And for that morning, we were calling it the Alan Brazil Sports Breakfast Show.
Could you like that every week?
Yeah, but you never got a winner either. You did, yeah.
Brilliant.
Nah, I must admit.
There's always a few days you miss, isn't it? I done it with Ray Stubbs one year on a Friday. Poor Ray, he was like, oh no, I've got to do the breakfast show tomorrow. Yeah. Alan's pulled in sickie.
Craig, he's an accomplished broadcaster. What's his problem? But Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday is really, really, it's a long week, put it that way.
Yeah.
And I'll explain, you know, we end up in the box, we do the show, and the first glass of champagne comes at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, the hardest bit is Monday and Tuesday. Oh, I think.
I know. So Ray and I went to Singapore, didn't we?
No, let me explain it, right? So Ali, I had to do a bit of TV, and the guy went, oh, Alan, why don't you go to Raffles and have a bit of lunch? So the guy probably thought he'll have 2 pints and he'll have a sandwich, yeah? So he goes in there. I come in after the TV thing. He's on his, well, between 3 or 4 of them, they've had probably 57 Singapore slings.
No, we're on holiday. That was a holiday for
me. And the guy ain't even turned up yet. He's got to pay for the bill.
Eddie from Hong Kong,
he comes in. I can have Alan Beals of Brazil. He's like, he's still going. It was like about $5,000.
He come in and looked at the bill and went, holy fuck.
He's an expensive pair of sandwiches and a couple of pies. Anyway, they kept going and going and going. And our mate was with us, right? So we had a golf day in the morning. To be fair, you looked a bit rough, to be fair.
No wonder.
I mean, after that. But my mate was white. And everyone was like, he's like a ghost. And he got to the golf course. There was a rain delay because the thunderstorms come over. What happened? We went back in the bar and then started having a drink again. This was early in the morning. So we get back out there. My mate ends up passing out. He has to leave after 2 holes, right?
No.
It's like, oh, no. Someone said, you look ill, and that's all we need to hear. So he's gone back to the hotel, but he's laid. You know when you get the gully with the plastic and a taxi?
Yeah.
He's laid in the gully, and the geezer's like, is he jumped out? We're down the motorway. You can't see him. But he's laying in the gully. He said, I have to lay on the floor because I'm so ill. And he lasted, what, 7, 8 holes?
Yeah.
And out. You've never seen him sweating so much. He's like someone throw a bucket of water over him.
I can imagine.
But in Raffles, I said,
he'd have been sweating more if a bullet
Alan,
come up to him.
The manager came up, Mr. Allen. Yeah, he said, and he kept giving me free ones. I went, what are you doing? Why? You know, this is too good to be true. And he's gone, but you've had so many. I said, well, I don't need any more free ones, do I? He said, but you've drunk more than anyone who comes out. I went, no. Oliver Reed. We carried Oliver Reed out after 19. And I went, well, how many we had? This is 57.
No, but he would
not
have,
all me.
He would have had 30 of them. Yeah, the 57.
No way,
Oliver got carried out after 90. I said, yeah, but he must have been somewhere first.
Oh, aye.
He was
having
the famous snooker with Alex Higgins.
What a trip that was, by the way. Oh, magic. Was it? So I ended up in the Singapore Cricket Club on the balcony. You know when the Formula One comes round, Singapore, that's the great place to watch it. I'm on the rooftop balcony, and I've got and the guys in there are brilliant, and they just keep filling me up, and I'm watching Ray. There's a five-a-side tournament he's got to play in it, and it is a roast.
My manager, and we got in at 7 a.m. And at 11, he's trying to warm me up. I said, I don't need warming up. Just, where's the kit? God's sake. And I put the kit on and we went out there. Oh, and you're sweating. You're dripping. I mean, and Alan ain't moved. It's called the Alan Brazil seat now. He didn't even get out from the balcony. How are they getting on over there? It's only 100 yards over there, Ali. Didn't bother to get up and watch the game.
Can't move.
And then I had a right result. Going home, I had to leave early. Not had to, it was plans. And I got an upgrade. I was in first class. Right, and I got on the plane, and the guys they said to me, "All right, Alan, I saw you coming on, nice. When we take off, you know, we'll serve you a nice drink, and then we'll get your bed ready." I went, "No."
Get your bed ready.
No. I don't sleep on planes. No, it's a waste. I like to enjoy my food. You've got a great wine list. I've had a look. That'll do me. He says, "No. You look tired." I said, "I'm not tired." So he kept going on about it. I said, "All right, we'll make the bed." And I'll try it. Oh, I woke up at Heathrow. Oh. I was gutted. Don Perignon and everyone on the menu. I was gutted.
Yeah, but it was a good 3 days, wasn't it?
It was like, it was brilliant.
Cheltenham, over the years, you've been there so many years. What's one of a couple of your good stories?
Oh, stories. I'll be here all day, but. I have been sacked from Cheltenham twice, I think. But there was one day I didn't get sacked, which was miracle, because we ended up again in Broadway. And JP has just won the last race. His brother was there. And if you remember a guy called Charles Hockey, who used to be the Irish Premier.
Yeah.
His it was either his son or grandson was there. Anyway, we had a massive, there was a dozen of us. And whenever all the locals had gone to bed and gone home, we had a sing song, which is great. There's a guy there, Ronnie O'Leary, who's got a great voice. And he does some work for JP, he trains horses. And we had a sing song. And you know when you're just enjoying yourself and you forget to look at your watch? And of course, I've got to leave. I get picked up every morning, just 10 to 5. And I heard this toot, toot, toot outside the hotel. I thought, who's that? It's normally really quiet that time of the morning. We're in the bar singing our hearts out. And all of a sudden, Ronnie O'Leary, the cricketer, England and Essex, head at the window. Get in the car, we're late. I went, what?
Yeah, no, what?
It's 10:05. No. You got to give me 10 minutes to have a shower. I raced up my room, showered, and went straight to the course, done the radio.
Brilliant.
Oh,
brilliant. How do that?
Well, you have to.
Whoa.
Oh, that'd be 3 seconds.
I don't know how you do it, mate.
No. Once you get there, the adrenaline kicks in.
The best one for me was when I'd done a show Wednesday with Alan. So Tuesday's been there. I don't know usually Tuesday, but he's been in the Guinness tent. 10:15. So I don't know what happened, but we got in there 10:20, and the guy at the front door went, "Oh, well, hello, Ray," and all that. "Alan, why are you so late today?" He was late. He said, "It's only 5 minutes late. A bit of traffic on the stairs coming down." 10:20, he said, "You're late for the Guinness Tent." And believe it or not, Ali, no, but what was the year when I had the first pint? He was devastated. He was
That's his claim to fame.
Yeah, but I was talking.
I'd done my dough and I went to reload the cash. I said, "Hold on, Ray." And he sneaked right in there and had the first pint.
Get in there.
Out of order.
That's up 6-1 on that.
It's magic going that wee tent. That big tent.
Yeah, but by 1 o'clock, Ali, I'm like,
oh, I know,
mate. What time's the race start?
The best one was, this is a few years ago when Mike Parry and I were doing it. And we used to do it from Lord Vesty, and sadly it's just passed. And Lord Vesty was the top man in Cheltenham. He ran Cheltenham. And he was the Dewhurst, the butcher. But they're gentry, you know, they own thousands of acres down in Cheltenham. He let us use the box. And basically, Tuesday I'd bring 2 bottles of bubbly, Parry Wednesday, Thursday, my turn. Anyway, this day, we'd been warned it was Gold Cup day, and Kelvin McKenzie was our boss at the time. He said to Parry, "You tell your mate, as soon as you finish at 10 o'clock, you get home and you do the show from London." I'm like, "What? And miss a Gold Cup? You're having a laugh. No chance. No way." He said, "Oh, you got it. You'll lose your job." I went, "Well, we'll see. So anyway, he forgot the champagne this morning and it was 8 o'clock. I'm just about to throw out the news. I said, "Porky, where's the champagne?" He went, "Where's the champagne?" He said, I'm so sorry, I forgot it. I left it in the room. I went, what? I said, well, I tell you what, you're breaking routine here.
Yeah.
Get your arse under Lord Vesey's table. And I'd had a wee look early on when we first went in the box. Beautiful. Petrus red wine. There's Dom Pom. There's Bolo. I said, get your arse under there and grab two bottles. And I'll get the ice sorted. So I'm about to throw to the news. And he's, Al, there's no champagne. I said, don't be stupid. It's Lord Vesey's box. Of course there's champagne, you clown. You're not looking hard enough. Right, here we go. 2 minutes to 8 o'clock. Here we are at Cheltenham. Down Gold Cup day. Can't wait. Let's head to the headline news with Jenny. Yeah. And as I look back, I've thrown to London to do the news. Paddy's going, get in there. And he's on his knees, Ray. And he's got two bottles of Dom Perignon. And the door opens. And this immaculate guy walks in with a morning suit on. And I looked at Paddy. I looked at him. Paddy suddenly tried to hide the bottles of Dom Perignon. My lord, I'm sorry. He made me do it. I forgot the champagne. I was going to replace them. Oh, and I'm pissed myself.
Crumbled.
And eventually just said, Paddy, get up, you prat. I'm Lord Vesey's butler. I love the show. Get up. Don't worry about it. So anyway, the Gold Cup comes and goes. Paddy goes. Oh, I said, I can't go. I've got to stay. Anyway, cut a long story short, I leave before the second last race, and I'm going through Broadway, and I'm thinking, so I said to my guy driving, I said, do me a favour here. I said, I can't do this. Stop at this hotel. There's a lovely Irish guy, porter. I said, how are you? Oh, Mr. Brazil, how are you? I said, do me a favour, please. Have a room for me.
Brilliant.
And get me up early in the morning. He said, I have got a room. It's only a small room. I said, I don't care. I'll do a Harry Potter under the stairs. Just let me get my head down. He says, give me your bag, sir, no problem. So I give him a card, give him a bag. He says, go in the sitting room. The fire was roaring. I'll get you a nice glass of claret. I went, lovely. So I'm just about to have a sip of it by the fire going, oh, good decision, Alan. He says, I'm so surprised you're not at the best pub in the village. I went, what? Jim Steele, who played for Dundee and Southampton with Keegan and Shannon Ball, all that boys, he's got the best pub. You should be there. I went, okay, but you promised me you'll get me out the door by 3 tomorrow morning. Yes, no problem, sir. So up I go to the pub. It's Paddy's day, and it was just magic. I give Steely a big hug. He's got a Rangers top on,
yeah,
right, from Dundee. It was magic, and I go back to the hotel, and do you know when you wake up in the morning and you think, something's not right? And I had a phone, and it broke. It was a brand-new phone, and I was relying on my senses. And the little fella downstairs waked me up. So suddenly, I thought, what's going on?
What's going wrong here?
And I grabbed my bag, I ran out the door, and there's a grandfather clock, and I looked, I went, oh, my God. It's like 4:20, right? I said, I don't believe it. So I still think I can make it. No chance. I run down the stairs, out the door. Sir, I said, don't you sir me. You were meant to wake me up. You said you had me at the door before. But sir. I said, no, where's my keys? And he's fumbling with the key. I said, you bang out of order. You've got me the sack, you know. You've got me the sack. But sir, I said, what? And I got halfway there. I said, what? What is it? He says, you never come in to 4:10. So anyway, I got back to London. I threw the phone at the shop. They've got me the sack now. And what do you do? I've had it. I know I've had it. My daughter rings me up. I get the phone charged. Dad, mum's gone mad. She says, don't worry about it. Get the skis. She went, what? Get the skis. It's middle of March. Get the skis. We're going to Meribel, France. Phoned up my mate. Says, Alan, it's blue sky. There's 3 metres of snow. Get over here. So I took my two daughters skiing. And as I'm talking, there's a courier bike on its way to Suffolk from London. Your husband's a disgrace. Sacked. So my daughter brought the passports up. Bosh. Off we went. Magic. I was there for 10 days. Come back. And amazingly, I got my job back in Arise. So Cheltenham's been very good to me.
Yeah, exactly.
Been very good to me.
Exactly.
Been very lucky. Yeah. Tell Ali the story about Monaco when we got the Grand Prix.
Oh, yeah, Ali, Monaco. So we go to Monaco and Ali said, oh, I've got you all expenses, I'll pay everything. We're on this big boat. I said, oh, OK.
Well, it was nice beauty,
so we turned up this hotel. I walk up, room for parlour. I said, no, there's no room for parlour. And Alan's behind me. I go, no, I ain't got a room. He went, oh, I forgot to tell you. You have to room with me. I went, oh, leave off. Jill's told me already, you snore like you look like the trooper. But he went, we're going to get hammered today.
I didn't say that.
I'll let you go sleep first. I'll give you 10 minutes. then I'll go sleep. So anyway, we got on this boat out, Ali, and it was one of them situations where the track is 100 yards over there. I ain't seen one car. And we watched it on TV. So we're on there. Anyway, this guy making his big bloody Marys like that.
It was Champions League night as well.
The old fucker's going in.
Danny.
Yeah. So I was going, oh, right, look at these bloody Marys. We've got to have a few of these.
I don't even like vodka.
Now, I'm not exaggerating. I'm not exaggerating. He would have had 25 to 30 bloody Marys. Now, I've had about six or seven. I'm like, oh, honey,
he does bullshit.
No,
he
it was at least 25 to 30. He was there all day.
I'll accept the 50-odd Singapore slings, but not the bloody
Anyway. So we carried on. We had a really good night. We get back to the room. All going really well. Ow. I'm like, fuck. So I lay in the bed within 30 seconds.
Bang.
His head's at the start, and I'm putting the pillows over my head. I'm putting a quilt over my head. I can hear it. In the end, I had to wrap myself up in a quilt and sleep on the balcony. Close the doors, double glazing. Ali. I could hear him through the double glazing.
Ali, he's a liar, because I woke up a couple of times, and once I caught him doing press-ups...
Yeah, that was when I woke up, though, 9 o'clock.
I said, what are you doing? I said, I can't sleep yet.
Yeah, yeah. So now I'm trying to get myself to sleep, time me out a bit more. Anyway, next morning comes out. Right, don't feel right. I'm thinking, oh, no, he's going to kill over on the balcony of Monaco with me in a sleeping bag. This is not good. So I said, oh, you did have a lot of drink, didn't you? Jesus, he probably had 25 bloody Marys.
Rubbish.
Two bottles of wine.
I let that eat.
Two bottles of champagne, beers as well, everything, right? So next minute, he's on the phone. It's to his daughter, Michelle. Michelle, don't feel right. So she must have said, Dad, what did you drink, Dad? And he went, oh, I had 20 bloody Marys and two bottles of wine, two bottles of champagne, some beers. She's gone, Dad, that's too much drink, Dad, surely. He went, Michelle, I think I know what it is. The tomato juice must be off. So I start laughing. He's serious. The tomato juice. I don't drink.
I never feel bad.
You've had 25 double vodkas. You don't even like vodka.
That was the same as Ouija Auntie. This is a great story. Ouija Auntie.
We've been 2 hours, wasn't it? He's in a restaurant. Next minute, we nearly missed our plane on the way home. Nearly missed our plane.
I know. We did. We stayed. We stopped at the Grand Hotel. Oh. Cat for that, it was beautiful. Oh, beautiful.
Brilliant, yeah.
But right, so what story is that going?
Oh. So, Gerante's where are you?
What? Golf. Gerante and I are playing Walter.
Yeah.
And Kenny, my assistant, at golf up in the local village in Bridgewyr. And the losers have got to pay for the curry in the village that night.
Yeah.
So, Tabby has got the Indian restaurant, brilliant as Shimla Cottage. Fantastic. Tabby, you'll never meet a bigger blue nose in your life. Mad Ranger supporter. I said to him, I'm bringing the boys in. He said, want us looked after. So Gerante and I win the golf, 2-1, beat Walter, sit down there. They're paying for everything, right? So away we go. In we go. Tabby's like, oh, this is Matt Walter. It's Walter Smith, man. I can't believe it. He's used to me getting into the car. It's Walter
legend,
Smith,
legend.
Man. Oh, there's Gerante, man. This is unbelievable.
By the way, are we back to horse here? Because they're getting ready to go. All right, right.
So he then says, we Gerante says to him, Tabby, I want a pinter. Right? So Tabby says, which? Right? Gerante pointed, he went, that's a cobra, right, a cobra lager. He says, get me a pint of that.
Oh, I love that, Ali.
Right, I swear to God, he's battered about 10 pints, right, and with a curry, he's ill. He comes in the next day and goes like that. Oh, he says, that Balti was a bit strong last night. I says, what about the 10 pints of...
Well, he can't beat a cobra, Bob.
So, Ray, did you never go to the races with the Arsenal boys? Did you never get a bus, a coach, and go down there?
No, but do you know what we used to... Not Cheltenham, but we've been to Toaster, and I always remember the day Tony Adams booked this minibus, right, from Romford. So you never know what minibus we're going to get here. Yeah. And he was going to pick all the Arsenal team up. Imagine it, all in his team. And we go down to Toaster. This was about 93, probably, 94. And I remember we was behind a big lorry, and it's one road in and one road out sort of thing. And we was all going, take it over. And we was right at the front. And this guy... He put his foot down do you know when it goes past this lorry, but he ain't going no quicker. He's going like,
and the lorry's still going, and there's a lorry coming that way. The whole Arsenal team were like, no, the lorry's coming. We ain't going to make it. And lucky enough, this lorry...
Could have been 200 grand for damage, yeah.
This lorry... this lorry slowed down like that.
Fucking... He's done that to me once, Paddy.
So,
mate, Paddy done that to me once. I was in my wife's shotgun, and he wanted to drive. And I said, mate, you sure? He said, yeah. He said, you've worked all week, you're tired. I said, well, don't take any chances this car, you know? And he got in the car, and he moved the seat right forward, and he's got his chin on the steering wheel. No. He was like, Mr. Magoo. I'm like, what have I done here? Anyway, we're out in the middle of nowhere, and he goes down this hill, and like Ray says, the lorry... And out he pulls and went, no, mate. No. And he's trying to kick the exam. No. And there's a scaffold lorry coming towards us. Oh, dear. Honestly, I thought he killed me. He just got in. And I said, what are you doing? I told you, it doesn't accelerate. With loads of time.
But we didn't really go. We had days out like Toaster, place like that. Not the big meetings, not Cheltenham. I don't know, that time of year, March, we would have been a bit awkward, I don't know. If he was in champion, if you're in the Europa League still or Europa Cup, at that stage, it was hard to go, wasn't it?
But it's all changed now, Ali. Harry Redknapp was telling us on the
It's incredible,
radio.
Isn't it?
He took the Tottenham boys down to, I think it might have been Cheltenham. Half of them stayed on the bus playing cards. No, I'm not interested in horse racing.
It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, but even if you've done like horse racing, you still go.
It's a great day.
It's a spectacle, isn't it?
It's a brilliant day.
And look, what a lovely animal. I mean, you can't beat a better animal than a horse.
No.
You know what I mean? If I had 20 acres like you, I would have an horse.
Oh, how many?
I can't believe you ain't got one.
We went down here one
pass
day.
Back. All right, then, 20 acres plus back.
He's got a boy called Agal, and this is Mr. Agal. He owns a lot more than me.
We went down here one day, Ray, because air was handy for us, so was Hamilton. Big Derek Johnson, David Cooper, late David Cooper, myself, Geranti, a few of the boys. We're in getting a bit of hospitality. Nothing. We've not had a winner. We've not had a place. Nothing. So I've had a look at the race card for the last race. And I says to Big Derek Johnson, I says, watch this, we'll wind Coop up here.
Yeah.
So away we go. So Coop's over there. I said, by the way, I meant to say to you lads. I said, the boy trainer, I know... He's gave me a tip for the last race. I said, but for the life of me, I can't remember the name of the horse, right? So Coop's getting at one of them. I said, Derek says, he's in it. He said, what's the name of it? I said, I cannot remember the name of the horse. It's gone, Derek. So Coop comes flying in, Ray. He says, what? I said, that trainer. I said, he's brilliant. I said, he's given me two or three before. I said, and they've been top tips have come in. I said, and he's given me one for the last. I can't remember the name of it. Coop's like, what are you talking about? You need to remember the name of it. I said, Coop, I said, I'm sorry, mate. I said, no. I says, for the life of me, I can't remember the name of the horse. He said, come on, I'm serious. He said, you need to remember the name of the horse. I went, I think it was definitely last race. I think it was horse number 4, right? So he grabs it, looks up, race card, last race, horse number 4, Amnesia.
Was it?
He's like that. Bye. Stormed out.
Believe it or not, lads, when I was at Middlesbrough, right? So one day, I used to train with all the youngsters. So you got Stuart Downing, Tony McMahon, James Morrison, all young kids, 19, 18, 19. I'm 34. Yeah. But all Gareth Southgate, all that little mob over that side. I said, no, I'd rather sit with the youngsters, have a laugh with them. And they was asking about Arsenal and, you know, what's it like? And I said, yeah, helping the kids out, whatever. So one day I've had a shower, I've put a suit on, they're going like that. Where are you going? I'm going to a York Ebor meeting.
Straight.
One of the best meetings ever. And this is like pre-season, August. They went, oh, we've never been racing. I said, look, I'll do you a favour, you lot, right? Go and get changed, go home. I'll meet you in Yarm High Street. I'll get a minibus for us. I've got all tickets for you and I'll look after you for the day. I'll just take you for racing for your first time.
Brilliant.
They went, do you mind? I went, no, I'll wait for you. So anyway, they've all gone home, getting their suits on. We met in Yarmouth Street. I said, get in, lads. I'm like their dad, really. It's like we're racing. So I get there. I've got all these Kevin Ryans there. And, you know, Kevin, I met Kevin. And they walk in, champagne tent. They go, oh, this is great, isn't it? This is what horse racing's like. I said, yeah. Anyway, lovely women everywhere. They go, oh. They're having the time of their lives. A couple of winners. Anyway, they went, the next day, we had to go training. I said, look, well, I'll get you home all safely. Make sure you go to bed early. Yep. Get training the next morning.
Go to bed early.
Anyway. So we get in next morning. They went, oh, right, that's the best day we've ever had. Seriously. So I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot. I said, I'm going racing next Tuesday. Do you want to come again? He went, yeah. I said, well, I've got to get there early because I've got to meet the trainer. You get there about 1:30, 2:00. I'll get your tickets on the door. Put your suits on again. Where am I going this time? Shedsfield. Right, so I've got my big boots on, big coat on. These people walking by in Wellingtons and all that, right? They've all dressed up, they've got all their suits on. So now I'm in the bar like that, right, lads, look out that window. Any minute, no, there's going to be four blokes walk past you with all their suits on, right?
Excellent.
And you can see their faces. As they went through the turnstile, and it's like... What's this fake? Geezer walks past the older fag with Wellingtons on.
Excellent, mate.
And I was all laughing in the air. They walked in and went, what's this place? I went, this is proper racing. This is like where you see the proper. And I was all looking around, I don't like this place. No. Ain't it? Yeah. They say one race, they shut up.
Did they?
My
first race course was Lanark.
By the way.
Lanark race course.
So was
that right?
Aye, so was mine. Lanark, my dad...
Took the train down there, I'm sure we did.
Well, we get the bus, I remember. My dad took my mum, my sister and I, bus from East Kilbride, just outside Glasgow, East Kilbride to Hamilton, and then we had a wee coffee and then I get the bus from Hamilton out to Lanark.
Obviously, that's closed now, that track's closed.
Yeah, it's closed.
How long ago did it close?
Oof.
That was, I'm talking about early 70s, all right?
Yeah. How was it?
Really early 70s.
What years were you at Borough then?
I was there 2004 onwards to 2006. So I was with Jimmy Ford Hasselbank, Viduca. We had a good team. Boateng, Mendieta, Zenden, Downey. We got to UEFA Cup final, didn't we?
Andy T just left.
Yeah, just left. Merce was there with him. Yeah.
What was the story when Andy and Merce and Gaza were there?
Oh, they all sleeping pills.
Yeah, we had this one.
Gaza.
So they're so bored. They used to play.
I still think the best one with Walter Smith told me, because obviously he was the same agent as me. And Christmas used to come down and see Steve Cutnell and whatever. So we go for dinner, and I always sat there. And he tried to sign me when I was 18 or 19.
Who did?
And George Graham didn't tell me.
So where?
To Rangers.
No.
He did, yeah. I thought he told me. Anyway, so he's telling me this story one day. He said there was 2-0 down. I think Ali would have been playing, I should imagine. There was 2-0 down, and Gazza, isn't he? I've known him many years. And he's gone into the dressing room there, and he's just about... He said, I've just about to have a go at him. He's just got up, walked out of the dressing room, off he went. Right? So, but he's gone in the director's box.
Yeah, Ali knows the story.
Yeah, you know the story, didn't you?
You were getting beat up.
Walt was telling me, and he's had a drink at the bar with his kit on.
Yeah.
With all the directors around. They're 2-0 down. So we're going, what's going on here? And the next half, what was he like?
Oh, Ray, I mean, phenomenal.
That is a great
But you can
story.
Imagine, it's a true story. He walked in, right, his boots on, he's got all his clobber on, kit the whole bit, walked in, large whiskey, because he was like, he wasn't playing well and Walter Smith was going crazy. Bang, threw it down his neck, out, second half.
Yeah.
Sensational.
Yeah.
Just fantastic.
Mind you, we're not like talking about Rangers, are we? We're in the doghouse for Rangers.
Yeah. Do you bet they have a story? Oh,
no, not mean the wee, right? No. Oh, do I never meet the wee?
I've upset them. They won't talk to us.
Who won't?
Yeah. Won't I? Yeah.
The best ever with Gascoigne.
Well, Golden Jury.
Oh, man. Ray. Right. On it.
He was so funny, guys, wasn't he? Oh. You can see when he finished football, he was going to struggle a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. People had to tell him what to do, didn't they? Yeah. I love Gazza to death.
I still love the fireworks. One of your best.
There's a million of them. The Gordon Jury one's unbelievable.
Yeah.
We used to come in, and we were always call on tie to training, because we used to get into the old Ibrox, call on tie, and then we'd go and do our training. So he was always in sharp, Gascoigne. I mean, he lived in the next village to me, Ray, and he'd be up 5 o'clock in the morning, and there was a wee trout loch. That'd be him away, he'd go fishing for a couple of hours before training. So, anyway... He doesn't appear, and we're sitting there. He's normally in back of 9, you know. Where is he? Don't know. Anyway, 9:45, the door gets kicked open. In comes Gascoigne. He's got a pair of waders on, right, up there.
Yeah.
Right, the full bit. And he's got a collar tie on. I'll never forget it. He's got a collar tie on underneath it, and he comes in like that big daft face, smiling. And he's got two fish, right? So we're all hysterics, man. We're just laughing. Anyway, away he goes, gets the gear off. So he was injured, and I was injured. Boys go training, and we are going to get into the gym. And he said, right, He says, who's been annoying you this week in training? I said, what do you mean? He says, we're going to have a laugh. I said, right, who? I went, jukebox. I says, Gordon Jury, been getting right in my nerves. Fine, he said, go and get his keys. So I went to jukebox pocket, out we go, bang, away we go.
Yo, jukebox.
Out we go. And we get two fish. We got into the main,
the
main Edison Drive. Wait, hear this. So I open the back door about, up I go, I unscrew, lift the thing up, unscrew the spare tyre.
Oh, right at the bottom.
Oh. I get the two fish, and I threw the two fish in, and I go like that to screw the spare wheel back on, and Gascoigne says, no, 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 he says, no. I said, what? And he looked and he went, so he takes one of the fish out, so he screws the wheel back on top of the fish, puts it down, opens the back door of this Honda, he finds a compartment next to the seat that he never knew existed, threw the other fish in it, looked at me and he said, when he finds the first fish, he'll think that's it. You know what I mean?
Oh, good idea.
Ray, and I've took a step back and I've gone, I know my place here. This is genius.
Yeah.
I'm dealing with genius here. Yeah, you know what I mean? I'd have just threw the two fish in.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Anyway, Ray, I swear to God.
Oh, imagine it. Oh, God's
sake. He's coming into training, jukebox, and he's walking into training saying, I'm fucking smelling my car. he says, I can't. He says, I can't get rid of it. I cannot get rid of the smell in my car. Because the whole dressing room's in a gag. He said, well, I don't know, no idea, right? Well, I need to tell you, Ray, about 5-6 days, right? We're going out to training, right? You know those wee Christmas trees?
Yeah,
right? He's got about 650 of them hanging up in his car, right? There's the air fresheners, there's lemon and lime ones, there's pineapple and mango, you name it, right? Strawberry and vanilla, right? Man. So we're in tears laughing. Anyway, he sticks it in, he finds the fish under the thing, mate. So he comes in and like, bastards, he says. I went, none of them, me. I went, you know who, right? So he's shaking, he said, anyway,
he's still drove again.
Other fish is still there. So he comes in the next day and he went,
can I have linger?
He says, I'm fucked if I can get rid of the smell of that cat.
Can I have linger, this fish?
He says, I can't get rid of it. he says, the final insult was, he says, I stopped at the traffic lights outside Ibrox, he said, and there was a guy walked by me and went, he says, it's stuff in the car.
Well, so imagine LC goes out for him.
Anyway, eventually, he stuck into the Honda dealer. Right. And after about 2 days, the Honda dealer, he's in the back, he pulls out this fish, man. It was like something that Corky the cat and the dandy, man. Scales and all. Oh, no. Brilliant. Absolutely priceless.
There's another one with Gazza when he was at Tottenham.
Was it an ostrich or something or an
email? No. A really good one. They always have someone who's going to do anything for you. Like, and he bought a camper van in. So the one with the rails and all that, ladders going up the back of it and whatever. So they were having a kick around in the car park. Gazza chipped it on the roof, like this ball. He's went, oh, yeah, go and get it for us. Of course I'm all Gazza. So the geezer's got up the ladder. As he's crawling across to get the ball, Gazza's got in the car, started it, and gone down the road in it. Now he's going down the high street. This geezer's holding on for dear life on the top of his roof. Oh. Gazza! And then he's getting on an A road. He's going 50 miles an hour with him on the roof. So this guy's holding on for dear life. Gazza!
Oh, man.
He's gone out of the jungle, isn't he, in Italy?
Aye. Well, it's not in Italy, it's in South America, but it's for Italian television.
How was it?
Yeah.
How did he do it
there? When Tottenham were training at Chesham, he brought, it was either an ostrich or an emu.
No, he said about running, he said about sprints. Ground.
Honestly.
You keep telling me to do sprints, I've got someone that'll do it for me now. You got an ostrich, let it go.
I remember we used to go in minibus, walked outside the Ibrox, we were getting a minibus through the Clyde Tunnel, we train up at Jordan Hill. So I came out one day, all the boys were on the bus, and I walked on the bus, and I looked up the back of the bus, and there was an old guy sitting in the bus, in amongst all the boys. with a bonnet on, and a shopping bag, right? I says, what's going on here? And Gazza said, he's got a hold of the boy like that. He went, oh, Jimmy, he says, he was going for his messages, but he's coming training with the boys. Right, I've got him coming training with the boys. The boy's out for a loaf of bread, right?
No.
Anyway, Ray, swear to God, Archie Knox comes in. He's driving the minibus. Archie's driving it. And the coach, David Hodges, is sitting there. Away we go. We're going through the... we're just... because we're all watching to see how the reaction... We're just going through the Clyde Tunnel. And I can see Archie, Ray, give it one of him.
Who's that?
There's an old guy sitting up the back of a Sainsbury's back and a shopping list.
No.
Oh, it's the best ever. It's the best fair to the old gym. Right, we went training and the old boy's behind the goal, right? And he's running, getting the balls, and he's flinging the balls back and he's kind of, he's the best day of his life, man. He's the best day of his life.
Oh. That was funny, man.
Ah, that is some of the stories with Gascoigne.
Brilliant.
Oh, seriously, you go fishing around the world, fishing in carp in France, you get £70 carp. It's like, proper. You go water skiing now,
You're from Romford, where did you fish?
Ray.
Chase.
Ray, I'm telling you, mate, we did, in Guatemala, we did the sailfish and the blue marlin and the black marlin, £350.
Did you?
You're on for an hour and a half.
Homeschooled a lot of marlin. Marlin.
You're on for an hour and a half, strapped into the chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
My granddad had trawlers and my mum had to live down in Diss for a while, down in Cornwall.
Yeah.
Is it Diss?
No, Diss is Norfolk.
Lou. In Cornwall, and she had to live there, and he'd go out and catch all the shark. I always remember one night I had a chase, though, Dagenham, right? So I was sitting there. I went night fishing, so I'm sitting there. So get all the gear out. And I was really tired. I must have nodded off like that. And you know when you wake up, right? And I had so much gear. And I looked around me like that. Everything had gone. The whole lot. I didn't have my rod. My hand must have been on the rod. He must have moved the rod when he nicked all my gear. And all that, I woke up like that. And I went like that. Imagine me waking up. And I always remember, I came home with my seat. My mum went, how'd you get on? Son, I went, oh, mum, I've rolled my gear nicked. You know? I didn't catch nothing. They nicked the whole lot, And after that, they put me off a little bit.
Oh, dear me.
Thanks, I got in the car with Ali after radio, and I looked around and talked to him. He's fast asleep.
Yeah, but he...
I like a wee power nap,
yeah.
Ray.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if Ali's still...
I'm not very practical.
He's sleeping the clothesline.
What about you? Do you like a power nap? No.
Ali, before a game on midweek game, evening game, always I sleep in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Tony Ali's made me. I didn't probably, sometimes I'd toss and turn, but you got used to it in the end. Where Tony would always like his...
Bang.
Shows the curtains. Pitch back room.
Yeah.
Get in the bed. 2 hours, maybe. So from lunchtime, so we'd have our lunch.
Yeah.
Go back to our rooms. 1 till 3:30, and then Tony would wake up, make a cup of tea. He was
unbelievable. I was the same,
what a room party he was. He used to do everything with me. I was younger than him, and he'd go, hey, I'll make you a cup of tea. I'm sitting in bed, I'm going, I've cracked it, haven't I?
Perfect roommate, yeah. Perfect.
I mean, he learnt the piano, didn't he? And obviously, going through his problems, it helped him out a lot.
Seriously?
So, yeah, he learnt the piano, and he was getting really good at it. He never played in front of me. Then all of a sudden, he brought his organ all the way to one of the away games. So he puts his organ in the back of the coach. I'm going, all the lads going, oh, fuck it, I've got a song tonight. He's always promised me I'm going to do you a song. So we get into the room. He sets it all up. He said, right, 9 o'clock. I've gone downstairs having a drink, playing cards or whatever. 9 o'clock, be back in the room. So I turn up at the room, 9 o'clock. All goes quiet. He said, do you want that song now? I said, yeah, come here, son. So I'm sitting in my bed like that, looking at his backside. And what happens? He goes, you're ready. I'm not fucking right, mate. We'll be coming round the mountain when we come. We'll be coming. I was like, ah. He said it took him 4 weeks to learn that. I said, I've done it in about a week. He'll be coming round. Anyway, all the lads were waiting for the next morning. What song was it? We have all bets on it.
Brilliant.
Oh, we're coming round. They was like, right, we've got to get him back on the booze quickly. That's what they all said.
What about now?
What a legend, Tony.
Tell us the sandwich story.
Oh, sandwich.
Room service. Yeah. This is a belter.
So we go out. This. Hong Kong, Ali. So we go out. Me, Baldy was drink double what Tony Adams drunk, right? Nigel went to Burn. Myself and Tony, we walked 50 yards down the road. We got to be back for dinner at 6 o'clock. Now it's 11 o'clock in the morning. So we walked 50 yards, Irish pub. Oh, we got to have a few drinks, didn't we? Tony was drinking 94, 95. So we go in this pub, and the guy recognised, he ain't even open yet. Oh, Tony Adams, yeah, come sit at the bar and we get you some drinks anyway. So lunch comes around, it's really good, lively. They'll go back to work about 3 o'clock. So we're at 5 o'clock, everyone comes back in again after work. It's packed, we're having a great time. So I get to about 6:15. I'm like, ah. I said, Tone, 6:15. We've got to go back for dinner, haven't we? He went, Ray, I'm the manager. Stuart Houston was a manager at the time.
Yeah.
He's after George Graham.
Yeah.
I'm the manager. We're staying here. I went, all right then, Tone, no problem, no problem. Anyway, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. We're still in this bar. Now we're getting all people back for our rooms for parties. So we get to about 9:30 and we're swaying. Me and Baldy are having a right laugh. So funny. And the manager comes up to us and went, Ray, we've got a massive problem. What's that? Your captain has fell off the end of the bar. He's laying on the dance floor. So Tony's gone off his seat. And now he's 6'4". People dancing around Tony Adams on the dance floor, right? So we're going, oh, no, he's always ruined it. So we somehow get him up. We get him up and we get him back to, it's only 50 yards. Now we're thinking, Stuart Houston must be in reception waiting for us. We ain't turned up for dinner. But we managed to get him in the lift, quickly upstairs, bop, bop, get him in the room, bop. Laying on the bed, it's Sando, Sparko. So I go into the toilet and I'm cleaning my teeth or something like that. And he's on the phone. Well, I don't know what he's doing. He's like, what's he doing? What's he doing? So I don't think nothing of it. I come back out. I get into bed. I go to sleep. 1.5 hours later, knock on my door. Who's that? Who's that? I'm not a heavy sleeper. Tony's still on his gear. All same gear. Ain't got nothing out of it. So I look, now I look through the peephole like that. Yeah. Yes. It's got to be Stuart Houston. It's got to be. I've got to try and make an excuse now, what's happened.
Yeah.
So as I look for there's a little Chinese man standing there. I went, what's he want then? All right, mate. He went, room service. I said, no. No room service. No. We took a long time to make this room service. Tony Adams been on the phone. 8 rounds of this, 10 rounds of that, 15 rounds of this. I've got 8 trolleys coming in my room. Seriously, there's a queue of trolleys because he's Arsenal. They've done it.
Yeah.
So now I'm going, 2 there, mate. One up there. One there. One in the bathroom. I'm surrounded by sandwiches. And Tony Adams is like this, on the bed. With all his gear on. So I think I might as well have a couple of sandwiches. I'm sitting there and a couple. So I go back to bed. Next morning, Tony's like, right, it's raining. I don't know, he's done it. And he's nudging me, right. Right, I'm like, Tony, all right. It'd been a great night last night, wasn't it? I said, Tony, you ruined it. You fell off the end of the bar. You land on the dance floor. People dancing around you. And he looked around the room. He can't remember last night. I can't remember that. Did I really fall off the bar? I said, yeah, you did. And he looked around the room. He went, was you hungry last night? And the bill was 150 quid, Ali. I was on £300 a week. Wow. I said, I can't pay half a week's wages for sandwiches. I didn't even want them.
Right.
He went, I'll sort it out, don't worry.
Brilliant.
Oh, Tony was a legend.
Tell us a story quickly about the mascot.
The mascot.
You've got to hear this, Ray. This
you know who that one, Ray? Rangers, we did that, it was Derby weekend up in Scotland. And Rangers Celtic game was on Saturday, played in it.
Yeah.
Hearts Hibs game on the Sunday. And the News of the World gave us a few quid to go and do a column on the Hearts Hibs game on the Sunday. So we get into trouble in Edinburgh, bit of hospitality before the game. In Rose Street, right? Oh, he stopped it, good. In Rose Street. So I've enjoyed a couple of drinks in hospitality before the Hearts Hibs game. So we're sitting up the stairs watching the game, first half, 10 minutes, 50 minutes to go to the end of the first half. This guy walks in with a mascot's outfit, Hearty Harry, right? And I looked at him like that, and he looked at me. And I looked at him. And he looked at me and went, he went. Right, 10 minutes later, I'm standing in a tunnel dressed as Hearty Harry.
Brilliant, by the way.
The players are coming in. There's a fight.
Really? Is he a bear?
Oh, he's a big, massive. I didn't even. That fitted me perfectly before you asked it. Right. So I'm coming at half time, the boxing. Big Joe, him centre half Hughes is fighting McPherson, and I'm in the middle of him going like that, right? Splitting him up, Harry splitting him up. Anyway, out I go.
Money, man.
Second half, I'm running, I'm going like that, I'm dancing about Harry, I've not got a clue. In I come, half time, the boy says, I'm trying to hurry up for the story, right? So he says, you're going to have to go and take a round of applause there for being Harry at half time. I went, what, you kidding me on a round of applause? He says, come on, let's do it. So I went out, 28,000 over there. And the boy said, well, Yanni, just a little bit of information for you. We surprise for you, he says. Today's Hearty Harry was, in fact, Not your normal hearty Harry. It was indeed the Rangers centre forward, Ali McCoist. Right. And there's about six Hearts fans going.
Right. No.
I walk out and I turn round and the entire Hibs end's going, get it.
Brilliant.
Brilliant, mate.
Oh,
absolutely
mate.
Brilliant.
Yeah, classic.
And what was what's the story, Ray, with the Gunnarsaurus?
Oh, yeah, we used to try and knock him on the head, didn't we? So
but was he not part of you?
No, he was married, Ali, to my... his daughter was married to my brother.
OK.
And on our wedding, he turned up in a Gunnarsaurus hat and walked her down the aisle. I said, no, look, come on.
No.
No, he didn't really, no. No, seriously, but he was a Gunnarsaurus, and I knew him really well. It's so funny, we're going to Diamond Club. This is a few years back. And he's got a little visor where he's looking through, obviously. All right, Ray, how you doing? All right. And the little kid was like, does he talk as well? He talks. The Gunnarsaurus talks. And a little boy next to me. But he was a legend. Oh, mate, the Gunnarsaurus. Big brilliant. Arsenal fan. He probably went to every home and away game because he was really away fans.
Is he away?
No, but he travelled with away fans. He used to go and watch the game. He's an Arsenal fanatic, Jerry. He's still about. He's a really nice man, lovely man.
No, but did I not remember last season he lost his job or something? Was that not...
Yeah,
Ozil. Yeah, and Ozil tried to pay his wages, didn't he?
Ozil said, I'll pay his wages.
That's right.
That would have been the old little, agent. Aye. Do that.
Aye.
Get me off.
Right, here we go.
But there was a couple of...
Publicity stunt that was, wasn't it?
Did Cyril the Swan not have a fight with someone? The Swan's in mascot.
Do you remember you used to watch it? The old mascot race. Oh, that was brilliant.
Was it Huntingdon or something?
Oh, and the geezer at the front. He had all his spikes on.
That's right.
It's really serious, didn't they? What was Ipswich's mascot?
The best one was it Bolton? The Lion, Lenny the Lion or something. Him and the Barnsley guy.
Watford thought he was tough.
They scrapped, didn't they?
Yeah, they scrapped.
And Watford was a good one, the bees. Like, he runs around, he's getting mad. In fact, the away fans give him all that.
Some brilliant stories there from the TalkSport trio of Ali McCoist, Alan Brazil and Ray Parler. And if you want more glorious content such as this, well, do subscribe to the From the Horse's Mouth podcast. We'll have plenty more for you, as well as our usual tipping slots on Friday. We'll have more Cheltenham watch-alongs too. So stay with us, subscribe to the podcast, and until next time, stay well.